Blog Talk Radio.
Word in the House.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Word in the House Ministries with Ministries. I am your host, Minister Andrea Carr, and I appreciate you this morning for tuning in. We are here every Sunday at 7 a.m. I apologize for the slight delay in starting, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. So please tune in. I'll give you some information so that you can tune in, not just on Facebook, but we also have a radio show that we do, Word in the House Ministries, at the same time. So if you miss it on Facebook, I'll share the link with you so you can hear what we do on the radio. And so I'll give you that information where you can tune into, dial into, share it with your friends and family as I share with you. So I thank you this morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Decade. Happy New Week. Happy New Era. Happy New Season. We're doing it all, right? This is the new week. Sunday begins the new week. So happy Sunday to you. This is 2020, and I'm excited because there's so much that God has called for us to do, so much that we need to do, and it's time to do it. So this morning, what God laid on my heart was Genesis 6. So if you have your Bibles available, if you'll turn to Genesis 6, I'm going to read out of the New Living Testament. You can read out of any to follow along. The story is the same. It's just this morning, I just wanted to read it in that translation, if that's okay with you. I'm going to put on my other pair of eyes so that way I can see. I've gotten to that age where my vision isn't as great as it used to be. However, I believe that it will become because God can do all things. Amen. All right, so Genesis 6. Then the people began to multiply on the earth, and the daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the beautiful women and took any they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. Remember, before this time, you know, we had humans who were on the earth 600, 700, 500 years. I believe the oldest man was 900 plus years. That was Methuselah. And so God said, you know, I put up with a lot. I'm tired of them. I wish I never made them. I'm going to shorten their lifespan to 120 years. In those days, for some time after, giant neophytes lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to the children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. So we understand that the sons of God would come down to earth and have intercourse with the women there. The women would get pregnant and birth these huge giants, okay? The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, "I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them." But Noah found favor with the Lord. And so we see here in this book of Genesis, chapter 6, that God was displeased with man. He was displeased not only with what they did, he was displeased with their thoughts. Everything they said was consistently evil. So there was no good in them. Their thoughts, their actions, everything was evil. Everything was about breaking the law of God. Everything was about doing what they wanted to do and not observing what God wanted them to do. So it sounds a little bit like some of the things that you might see in your daily life here, where you might know some person or some people that everything they want to do is wrong, and you're sitting there like, okay, we don't always have to do the wrong thing. Just because the opportunity presents itself, we can do some right things. We can do some things that are in line with God. And it's hard when you're around people who consistently want to do wrong and you want to do right. it's not easy to stay on the right side when you have so many people around you who may be negative, who want to do bad things. But here was a man, Noah, and the scripture says in verse 9, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, I want to say this to you, that just because there's evil around you, just because people are making bad choices and bad decisions, doesn't mean that you have to. You don't have to feel any condemnation for wanting to do the right thing. You don't have to feel that you're a fish out of water, because when people are plotting and planning, you'd rather not be involved. I know I've heard it told growing up that one person can't change anything. However, here we have one man who was righteous, one man who walked with God, and God decided something because of how righteous Noah was. So just because everyone around you has lost their mind and are doing evil thoughts or things, having evil thoughts, wanting to plot and plan, and they're negative, doesn't mean you have to be. It's okay for you to stand and say, hey, I want to do the right thing. Hey, you want to rob a liquor store? I'm not going to do it. You want to fornicate with that person? I'm not doing it. And you don't have to feel any shame in that. It's okay to be righteous. I know it's become popular to do the wrong thing. I know it's become popular to follow the crowd. But you can be a leader and do what God has called for you to do. You can do the things that you know are right and don't feel bad about it. It's okay to be righteous in an unrighteous world. And I would say that God will reward your righteousness, because here's a reward right here that we're about to get into the text of a man who was righteous before God and walked close with him and prayed with him and spoke to him. And I'm sure that people around him mocked him and laughed at him for doing the right thing. Scripture says he was the only blameless man, the only blameless person living on the earth. So you can imagine for everybody else that knew him or knew of him, they were like, oh, this guy, he's a nerd, he's a lame. And so I suggest to you, especially to my younger generations, that it's okay that people criticize you for doing the right thing, because at the end of the day, the person who's going to judge you are not the ones pointing the fingers and laughing at you, not calling you names. The person who's going to judge you sits high and looks low. And I'd rather have a positive judgment from God than a positive judgment from man. Let's just be honest about this thing. See, we walk and we talk and we live and we do things on this earth, but earth is not it. Earth is just one step in the journey. Getting to heaven is our total destiny. That's the destination we want to have. And I don't want to get to the judgment room and Jesus said, you know, you could have chosen me. You could have stood up for me. You could have followed my command, but instead you wanted to please people. Instead you wanted to do the wrong thing. Instead you wanted to do what's not right in my sight. Good morning, Crystal, my love. Good morning, Rolando. Good morning, Darian. You want to do those wrong things. So instead of doing what you knew was right, you chose wrong. So now you stand before me in judgment, and I don't know you. See, there's nothing like the judgment of God. There's nothing, nothing. No man, no woman, no child, no animal, no creature, no beast, no anything can do to you what God can do to you and what God can do for you. And so here we have Noah, who's walking upright with God, who's righteous among an unrighteous man or unrighteous people or unrighteous land, but still choosing to do the right thing. So I want to say to you this morning that it is okay for you to be righteous. It's okay for you to do the right thing even though people talk about you, even though people unfriend you, even though people turn their backs on you, even though people don't support you for doing the right thing. The reward is greater for you walking in righteousness than what you would get from people doing the unrighteous thing. And so I wanted to leave that with you today as we go further into this story of this righteous man named Noah, because so many times we see, especially now, where it seems like being bad is celebrated, being evil is celebrated. We have all these reality TV shows, and I'm guilty of watching a few. I'm just going to put it out there. But we have these reality TV shows where people are fighting and throwing drinks in faces and lying and backstabbing and gossiping and telling rumors or sleeping with this one, that one, and taking this one's husband, and it's celebrated. But those are not the commissions of God. Those are not what God wants for this world. It's not what he wants for your life. So when are we going to stand up for righteousness? When are we going to stand up for God? When are we going to put our hands up and say, though I may be the only one, I'll go. I'll do it. I'll walk out in righteousness. I'll do the right thing, and I'll teach your word. I'll spread your word, and my life will be a light for others to see and to follow and to ask, how can you go through all of that and serve this God? Well, if he protected you, if he covered you, if he allowed good things to happen, then I want to know about this God that you serve. It only takes one. You're never too little. You're never too small to do the right thing. You're never too young. You're never too old to do the righteous thing. You know, when I was divorced, when I got divorced, and my covering father and my spiritual father can attest to this, I asked him a question. I said, you know, I'm getting divorced, and I've chosen wrong. I didn't choose for love. I didn't do the right thing, but I've been married before. And since I've been married before, I know what it is to be intimate with someone. So I'm not looking to get married again. I think I just want to, and I'm just, can I be real with you? Because we do have real conversations here. I think I just want to date someone and have intercourse whenever I want and no real commitment. I didn't want commitment because I had failed in commitment so many times before. But after my divorce, I was like, I don't even see myself married again because I didn't do it the right way, and I'm sure God's not going to give me another chance. And my spiritual father, Pastor McDuffie, I'm going to shout him out, just let me talk and let me get it all out and say what I had to say. And once I finished, he said, okay, we'll talk about it. Maybe a week and a half later, we went to our meetup spot, which was Dunkin' Donuts. We always love to go to Dunkin' Donuts and fellowship. We went to Dunkin' Donuts, and the first thing out of his mouth, he looked at me, and I always say he has Jesus eyes. Anyone who knows Pastor McDuffie knows he has those eyes when you could just see the fire of God in them. And there are a couple of pastors that do that. But him, he sat there. Now I'm about to get my old-fashioned and my chai tea, so I wasn't thinking about the things that I had discussed with him the week or week and a half prior. The first thing out of his mouth was, you are going to be the wife of a pastor. You're going to be a first lady. And then he just sat back like he had not said anything. And tears started falling down my eyes because I didn't want that. I didn't want that. That was not what I came to you with. I came to you with, I want no commitment. I want to be able to live my fabulous life free and doing what I want to do. And here you've spoken to me one of the greatest positions to be a pastor's wife. Do you know who I am? This is when I was freshly walking into ministry, just walking into the giftings of God and ministering, and he was training me up. And I'm just like, first of all, number one, pastor, that's already some accountability I'm not looking for, because I know that if God has called me to be married to a pastor, he has not called me to sit back and stand. Because I'm going to have to be in the trenches praying for my husband, praying with my husband, loving the sheep, even if the sheep don't love me or like me or talk about me. And, ooh, that's a heavy commission. And I was just like, I said, I want it. Right, Crystal? I said, I didn't want a commitment. And here you go. We all the way up on the commitment level. And it was just like something within me shook. Because, to be honest, what God was saying, besides the, you're going to be married to a pastor, you're going to be a first lady, you're going to be in the trenches, was no, you cannot just date someone with no commitment and have intercourse like the world. I've called you to not be of this world. You can't do what the world can do. That was the answer I heard in that sentence. That's all. He never brought it back up again. He never said what else God said to him. That was it. That was the end of it. But I recognized and realized that God had called me to a greater thing, to a bigger thing. So I couldn't be unrighteous like I wanted to be. I couldn't, just because I had been married and divorced and I know what the married life is, it didn't work for me. Now I'm going to do things Andrea's way. God was like, no, you still will be chaste, you still will be, I'm trying to think of the word, you will still abstain. You will still follow the footsteps. I don't care when I send your husband, but you will do it my way, not your way. So I'm here to say to you, as I share that with you, that even though it's easier to be unrighteous, hear me now, hear me, even though it's easier to do the wrong thing, even though people will celebrate your badness, there is a judge that at the end of the day is watching. There is a judge at the end of the day that can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or he could say, go from me, I do not know you. And I'd rather the well done, my good and faithful servant at the end of days than, yeah, go ahead, girl, rock, you know, shake them hips, rock them hips, do this, do that. I would rather tell them, no, I'm not going to participate in that nonsense. No, I'm not going to do the wrong thing. No, I'm not going to be unrighteous, even how many people leave. Can I tell you something? When I decided, and you all know this for yourselves, when I decided to follow God, when I decided to be a minister, when I decided, even when I was a praise dancer, even as the prophetic mantle was placed upon my shoulder, there were people who stopped being my friend. There were people who stopped talking to me. There were people who would not even stay in the same room. When I walked in, they were like, oh, Lord, here she goes. Here she comes. We're going to hear something about God, or we're going to think about, oh, yes, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Absolutely. Oh, yes, fret not. And that's a good word. Crystal, can you tell me where that scripture is? I want to share that because that is good. They would not talk to me. Like, people would be laughing and joking. I walk up, they just silence themselves. Because they thought, oh, here she goes. Here's the Bible thumper. She's going to preach to us. She's going to. And it wasn't that. I wouldn't say anything. I was just in the midst. I wasn't trying to preach to them. God didn't call me to give them a word. I was just there relaxing. It would be on the job or in school or wherever it was. And it's just like, But it was okay, even though my feelings were hurt. Can we be honest with each other? Come on, ministry leader. It hurts when people you love, that you care about, that you like, turn their backs on you. It hurts when your phone doesn't ring as much as it used to. It hurts when you don't get the text messages you used to get with people saying, hey, let's go shopping. Come on, let's go hang out. But I'm here to tell you, I've been through it, and I'd rather that and know that I'm doing the right thing or trying to do the right thing than having my phone blow up every 5 seconds because, you know, I'm doing the things I'm not supposed to do. So I'm here to say that to someone. It's a lonely walk sometimes. Sometimes choosing God, walking into what he has called for you to walk into hurts. Sometimes it's tiring. It's very lonely at times, but it's worthwhile. I promise you. Because God comes, and when he comes and he blesses for you taking care of his and his house, what he does for you and your house and your family and your health, it's so much, it's worth it. So I'm telling you to faint not, that you don't get weary of doing well, that you will continue to do the things that God has called for you to do. And saying that, let's look at the first point. The message for today is called Rock the Boat, and we're in Genesis 6. Number one, God calculates the situation. Verse 11 says, now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God looked at the situation. He looked. Before he moves, before he jumps, before he does, as it's his right, he could, he observed the earth. He looked. He evaluated. He wanted to see what was happening in this world that he created. And all he saw was corrupt people, corruption, doing corrupt things, correct? So God knew before time that this was going to happen. This wasn't a surprise to him. He just was hurt and disappointed that this is, he created and this is what his creation was doing. So I want to say to those who ask this question, why am I here? What was I born for? Mom, Dad, why did you have me? Why would you allow me to be in this world? Especially, you know, the younger generation, when you ask them to do things, well, I didn't have to be born. You didn't have to have me. Well, yes, they did. Yes, your parent did. You are here for a reason, because God evaluated the earth, because God considered what was going on, and he knew January 1st, 2020, such and such needed to be born into the world. September 30th of a year, a girl needed to be born into the earth. Whatever your birth date is, he had already evaluated the land. He had already taken a look at what was going on in the world, and he acknowledged that you were necessary. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. That is Psalm 37, and I want you to meditate on that. Thank you, Minister Crystal, for that, because that's an important one. That is an encouragement, and I need you all to be encouraged. So Psalm 37, fret not yourself because of evildoers. You still do the right thing, even though it may feel uncomfortable. Bless you, woman of God. So God knew that you were necessary. Even though you may not feel it, even though you don't feel that you're necessary, even though you may not feel the call on your life, you are here for a purpose. You are here for a reason. God spoke you into your mother's womb. Remember Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. God already knew what he needed you to do, and you are important. I don't care if you have 17 siblings and you are the last one and they're tired by the time you come and you don't get the same adoration and attention that your other 16 siblings get. You are here for a purpose. I don't care if your mother tried to abort you, went to the hospital, the abortion, and it didn't work, you survived. You are here for a purpose. I don't care if your father is an alcoholic and is abusive to your family. You are here for a purpose. I don't care if you were born in a shack and you don't have heat or electricity and you don't know how you're going to make it to the next day. You were born for a purpose. God observed the land and saw that such a time as this, you would be necessary. So even though you may be struggling right now, even though you may be fighting with who you are, what's my identity, what's my purpose, who am I and why am I here, you were made for a purpose. Even though you disagree with your family, you want to go out to the kickback and your mother's like, no, it's not safe in the street, and you're frustrated and throwing a temper tantrum saying, why did you have me? You are here for a purpose. And I need you to understand that and get that, because when you recognize that you are important, you won't take some of the shenanigans that happen in the world against yourself. You won't fall into the crowd. You won't do things just to get along. You will not have low standards, because now you know that you're worthy, that you're important, that you are going to do something that God needed for you to do. There is never too small of a job. And I used to use this as an example. If you think about the church house, most people think in the building that the most important person is the pastor, because he delivers the word. And I would challenge you that even the maintenance worker is important. Why? Because if he is not cleaning or fixing the pipes or putting the seats together, how are you going to be comfortable in that church building? If the nurse or the medical ministry is not there, suppose someone has a heart attack. Yeah, we could speak like we could lay in off hands. However, wouldn't it be better if we had someone who was trained in medicine to be there? Even if the usher might be mean or something, but she's ushering in you to your seat so you don't have to stand or disrupt service as it's going on. So there is no small job in a church house. And so I suggest to you that there is no small thing that you can do. People have asked me, my daughter and I have talked about it, what about children who are born that pass away immediately? How could they have served a purpose? Well, here was a parent that prayed to be a parent, and God blessed them with some time to be a parent. But perhaps that child's mission was to bring together some family members who had never been together, because at the wake, at the homegoing service, family has come together to help that parent grieve, to help those parents to get past it. So that purpose of that child coming in was to bring a family together who had not been together before. So there's no little bit of time There's no little assignment that can be given to you. And I need you to understand that you may not be a Martin Luther King. You may not be a Sojourner Truth. You may not be Rolando Martin. I'm just throwing Roland Martin. I think that's his name. You may not be a sports commentator. You may not be a football player, a basketball player, or a governor, or a senator, or a congressman, or a president. You may not have those positions of power and fame. However, there is no little job that you can do, because you being here puts into action what God wanted you to be here for. Hear me. And you don't have to be a perfect person. Your name is not Jesus. I don't care what your parent named you. There was only one Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. There was only one perfect, upright man. So stop putting yourself down because you've made mistakes. Stop saying that you can't be used because you drink, you smoke, you fornicate, you steal, you've murdered someone, whether it was their reputation or their physical body. God can still use you, because I challenge you to read the Bible. Every person that God used had an issue. There were some people that had a couple of issues. So how dare you say that God can't use you because of where you came from or some of the decisions you made? He can use anyone. He used a donkey. So why can't he use you, a treasure? And I need you to think that way, so that way God can walk out the things in you that he wants to walk out. Don't you know that there are things he's been waiting to happen, but he's waiting for you to acknowledge that he can use you. God is not a bully. He does not come into your situation to help unless you ask and invite him in. He does not push you to your purpose. He gives you the vision, the promise, what could happen, but it's up to you to accept it. So I'm saying to you today that no matter where you were born, no matter how you were born, no matter who you were born to, the point is you were born. So because you were born, you have a purpose. So if you don't know what your purpose is, now would be a good time, now that we've had all the celebrating and eating of pie and toasting in the new year out of the way, to focus on what your purpose is. No, I'm not telling you to focus because this is 2020, the year of vision. No, no, no. It's always been years of vision. I need you to understand that. But I'm telling you to focus now, because why not now? Why should you wait until you're 100 years old? Why should you wait until you're used up? While you have energy and a will to serve, serve now. Thank you. That's right, Minister Crystal. The very fact that you woke up this morning is proof that God is not done with you. It's another chance to get it right with God. Amen. Yes, it is. So God calculated the situation and saw what he was about to do. I'm about to destroy the land. I'm getting rid of all these humans, all the animals. I'm getting rid of everyone because they're evil and corrupt. Number two, God commissions the specimen. Look at verse 13. So God said to Noah, "I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them out all along the earth." So now God speaks to Noah. He's decided what he's going to do. And can I just say this to you? God does not need our help to do anything. Can I be honest with you? God can literally do anything, anytime, all by himself. But that's not how God wants to work. Remember, I just told you he's not a bully. So he wants those who look like you, who sound like you, who act like you, that are in your circle to help. You know why? Think about it. When someone comes to you and they give you advice, wouldn't you want that person to have gone through what you've gone through to do it? Wouldn't you want someone to come and speak to you that's been in, if not the exact same situation as yours, but a situation? Doesn't it make it more understandable and more it's easier to accept when a person has been through? I used to think about this. I knew a person maybe 20 years ago who had never been through anything. And she likes to say, "Oh, I never went through that. Oh, I've never." But she was very condescending. She looked down on people. She was very judgmental. She didn't have any compassion. And she just kept saying how she had never been through, never been through, never been through. And so one day she came to me and said, I don't understand. I tried to give my sister some advice, but she just won't accept it. She just won't listen to me. And I said to her, well, sis, and I don't mean my sister. I'm just saying sis as a female. Maybe she doesn't want to listen to you because you've never been through anything. So she's wondering how you would have any experience to tell her anything. If you've never gone through a thing, how can you be compassionate about it? If you've never gone through anything, how can you really give any advice about it? You can only give what you perceive or what you've read or what you've seen on somebody else. See, this is why I love having a relationship with God. Yeah, it was great hearing the stories and the testimonies of my family members and my friends. It was wonderful. But what better relationship we had when I got to see God for myself? See, I heard about him. I heard a lot of things about God growing up, and it really honestly, up until I was in my mid-20s, it was very scary because I thought God was a God of wrath and God was a God of fury and God was going to send me to hell because that's how it was preached to me. But I began to have a relationship with him, and I got to know who God was for myself, who God is for myself, and that's so much better. So when a person goes through a thing, now they got a testimony, right, because they've been tested. Whether they failed or whether they achieved, they've gone through a thing. See, a lot of us like to say, well, I don't want to listen to this person because they failed at this. But can I challenge you today? I want to challenge you that just because a person fails or falls does not mean that they cannot direct you. Because apparently if they fell and they failed, they know to tell you, don't do what I did because I got it wrong. And so stop looking for people to be perfect. Stop looking for people to be able to direct you because they got it right. God is going to send some misfits. He's going to send some people who failed, who got it wrong to you, but that does not mean to not listen. Listen to what they say, because just because they don't have MD behind their name or PhD or EDD behind their name, just because they got it wrong or may have dropped out or did this or did that, does not mean that they don't carry wisdom with them. See, we're always looking for a certain people to give us information, and those certain people God did not call to you. You running and running and running for a prophecy, and God said, your daughter is right there, and I've given her a word for you. You're running, 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 wanting to have your hands laid on by this one and that one, and God is saying your mother is a healer or your cousin is a healer. You're looking for these people with these big names and big ministries and big titles and big things that they've done and the big fame, and God is saying, I haven't called you to any of those people. They sitting there lying to you because I did not tell you to go to them. So I say to you today, just because a person has fallen, amen, Minister Crystal, just because a person did not get it right, just because they're not where you think they should be, does not mean they don't have wisdom. Stop looking down your nose at people because they're not where you would want them to be before you listen to them. God used a donkey. I will continue to say that because if you can use an animal who does not have a soul, a mind to think and perceive and put together and calibrate and calculate, if he could use that, why can't he use Shay Shay down the street? Why can't he use Jerome? Why can't he use Michael? Why can't he use someone right there that's on the corner with you to get you off the corner? Ooh, that was good right there, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So God commissions the specimen, and the reason why I said specimen, because God can commission anybody, a woman, a child, a man, an animal, anything that God wants to use for a thing, God can use. So he commissions. He lets you know this is the plan, and I want to say that to you right now because God has spoken somewhere in your life what it is that he wants you to do. You may have forgotten. Life may have happened, and you pushed it to the back. You may have been busy when he was talking, so you heard it and went right out the other ear. But God has poured into you a purpose, and it might not just be one. There are so many people who have more than one purpose, but God wants you to walk through one purpose at a time.
He wants you to do A so you can get to B. He wants you to complete B so you can get to C. God is not a chaotic God. God is not one who's going to say, do 12 things at one time and drop the ball. No. He's going to tell you, get this done. And when you get this done, then this can happen. Can I tell you that when you don't do what he's asked you to do, that he will not allow you to be successful in some other areas of your life? It's true. If he's asked you to water the grass and you don't water the grass, he's not going to have the grass grow lush and green around your whole property because you didn't do the first thing he asked you to do. See, it's about obedience. You know how we love to quote obedience is better than sacrifice, but we really don't walk out in obedience? Heck, we don't even walk out in sacrifice a lot of the time. When God says, give that last $5 to Joe, you sitting there like, but I need to get to work, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And God just said, give the $5 to Joe. So you're not even walking into the sacrificial part of what he's asking you to do. Obedience is important in this season. See, no one wants to talk about obeying, but without obedience, it falls. If God has told you to go down Main Street, but you go down Broadway, you're disobedient. Guess what happens in disobedience? Punishment. So you're wondering why things aren't working out the way you want them to work out. Well, God is punishing you for your disobedience, which is what he has to do. For every action, there is a reaction, right? For every a problem, there's a solution. For everything that you do, there's a circumstance that hits it. So we like to forget sometimes that we can cause a lot that we go through. I had to sit back. You know how we do the let's think back on the last year and see what we could have done better, what, you know, the reflection that we have. Well, I was commissioned to reflect on the last 10 years because 2020 begins a new decade. So let's reflect on the last 10 years. As I walked in that obedience, God said, okay, let's not just look at the last 10. Let's look at the last 20, the last 30. And I'm sitting here like uncomfortable because I'm like, ooh, but God showed me and how I made choices and how I decided to disobey, how I decided to listen to a person instead of listening to him because it was more comfortable to listen to the person because I wasn't talking to God like I should have been or praying like I should have been doing, which is a communication, a dialogue between he and I. I decided not to do that. So what was I being? Disobedient, going before him, saying, oh, God, I got it. I know what the purpose is for my life. I know something you've called me to do. I know my assignment, and jumping ahead. And God just said, I was giving you a picture. I was showing you a roadmap. I didn't tell you to walk out. How are you at point Z, and you didn't even do point A? And so many of us are guilty of this, and we think that God has turned his back on us, that God has lied, and he can't do that. God does not forsake. God does not lie. He is not like us. He is perfect. So the mere fact that it did not work, go back and reconsider. Did you do the steps that God told you, or did you get ahead of it because he gave you a peek of what your future was going to be? He showed you something. Yeah, he showed you that house. That did not mean to go buy it right now. He showed you your business. He didn't say go jump and do it right now. He showed you feeding the hungry and clothing the homeless. You did not, oh, I love you so much, Minister Crystal. You did not have to go before God. So you had to go back because now you've walked away from your purpose. You walked away from your calling. You walked away from your assignment. And God is saying, that's not what I called you to do. But you got ahead of me. You did the things I did not call for you to do. You were disobedient. So now you threw it down. Oh, it's not going to work. That's not what God said. It wasn't the promise. That wasn't it. It's something else. No, what it was is that you got ahead of God. You disobeyed. You jumped to point or step number three, and you didn't start at step one. And I'm not talking to you from something I heard. I'm talking to you from what I've done. I know this to be true. This is why I can speak it to you. Remember when I said because a person may have fallen or failed doesn't mean you should ignore them? Well, I'm telling you this because I did it the wrong way. See, I know where God told me to start. I heard him. It was clear as day. I can't even lie and tell you I was busy. I didn't hear. I heard. But because the world was doing something and receiving reward for it, hear me clearly, I wanted to step out and do it their way because I wanted to get the reward too. I didn't want to have to do the hard work. I didn't want to have the nose and the doors closed in my face and people looking at me like I was crazy and saying, who are you to think you could do this? So I put myself on a 40-year journey, even though it's not, I don't mean literal for 40 years. But think about the Israelites. 11 days became 40 years. So I put myself on a 10-year, a 12-year, a 15-year journey that didn't have to happen had I been obedient to what God told me to do. And let me tell you the graciousness of God, because he reminded me right in the midpoint of me doing this wilderness journey, hey, if you do this. But because I was on the wilderness journey, I didn't understand how it could happen. If it didn't happen back then, how could it happen for me now when I'm in a worse position and predicament than I was? So I ignored it, and I continued on. And God was saying the whole time, it's in your hand. Every prophecy, and I wasn't seeking prophecy. I was minding my business. I would go to a church. It's in your hand. A person who I love, it's in your hand. One of my friends, it's in your hand. My sister, it's in your hand. My mother, it's in your hand. Everybody was shouting, it's in your hand. And I'm sitting here looking at my hands like, what? I don't get it. Are you saying? And then God showed me clearly. Because I asked him, I said, I'm tired of the same prophecy. I'm tired of this. Tell me, speak clearly. And I mean, you can do that with God. Lord, talk to me so I can understand you. Help me hear your voice. What is it you want me to do? Because you submit. Submission. You humble yourself. God can come in and say, okay, now that you are here, now that you're willing to listen, here is what I was saying to you. And he was so clear, but can I tell you something? Can I be honest? Minister Crystal, I'm going to be transparent. I heard him when he said it back in 2007. I heard it. Here we are. I'm putting up my hands. I'm frustrated. Tears are flowing in 2019. That's how long it was. And God said to me, the very same thing he said to me in 2007. Let me tell you the difference. The difference was I was broken. I was humble. I had submitted myself to God, and I was sick and tired of being on this merry-go-round. That was the difference. See, in 2007, it was, oh, wow, yes, cool, okay. But then my focus got taken, and I started looking at other people and how they were moving on up in the world, and I was like, I want that. How do I get that? That's what I want. I don't want to do all of that. I want to get to there. So let me go and meet this person and go help them and do this and learn. And it was great because God taught me. I was trained. That was great, but that's not how it was supposed to happen. Please hear me. Just because people are doing things a certain way does not mean you have to do it that way. God does not have to bless you the same way he blesses someone else. So just because someone has 10, 12 years of education doesn't mean you have to. Just because somebody has been in the trenches and done the hard work does not mean you have to. God can cause you to know nothing about a situation, to walk up into the situation and succeed and be victorious. Can I be honest with you? You have to trust God. And like Minister Crystal is saying, you have to go through the process. Your process is not going to look like Joe's process. Your process is not going to look like Ann's process. You still have to go through yours. And because it doesn't look like a certain person means that you have to be so open with God. You have to hear him. You have to talk to him daily. This is not a once-a-year thing. You've got to talk to God daily because daily he's going to pour a little bit more information, open up a door this way, give you this. But if you're not talking to him, you're going to get lost. That's what I was doing. I wasn't talking to him. Yeah, the minister of God was not talking to God. Let me be honest with you. And I was getting lost in the sauce. I was in the waves. I was like the wind just blew me here, there, and I didn't know because I let go of my source. I was looking so much at the resources of other people, not even my resources, but of other people, I let go of the source. So when I let go of the source, I was flown and blown all over. And I was not at peace and I was not at rest until I got back to the source, which is God, and I had a humbling moment where I was broken. And I let the break happen because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of myself. Can I be real with you? Sometimes you got to get to that place, to that point where you're just sick and tired and say, how do I get out of this stinkiness? How do I get out of myself? How do I get out of this situation? And then God can come in. Absolutely, Minister Crystal. Any relationship, you have to communicate. So why would you not communicate with your Father, the one who has the answers, the one who can direct your path, the one that can heal you, the one that can release you, the one that can restore you? Speak with him every day. And you don't have to sit in your prayer closet and spend 3 hours. There are times some of my best prayers with God, I've told you this, I just got on my knees and said, help, because I couldn't do it. I have been in the car. I've been on my job. I've been in the bathroom. I'm just being honest with you. There are many ways to talk to God. There is no blueprint, even though Jesus did give us a blueprint of how to pray. He said, in case you don't know how to pray to God, let me give you a format, a blueprint, and that was the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. That doesn't mean that's the only way to pray or the only thing to pray, but in case you needed help, here's what you should do. And I believe that's in Matthew 6, if I'm not mistaken, right before, yeah, I believe that is in Matthew 6, where Jesus, in case, I'm sharing this with you in case you want to know, I don't know how to pray, I don't know what to pray. The Lord's Prayer is there, and it's a format of how to pray. So you can start off adoring God, our Father. Who is he? What is his name? What are you grateful for as far as him? And then you're going to ask for forgiveness of everything. And then you thank God for what he's done. And you forgive other people. It's a whole format when you look at the prayer. Maybe we'll talk through that one day. Because I know growing up, I did not know how to pray. That's the only prayer I knew. So I would recite it only because I knew it. But my heart wasn't into it. Maybe we'll do that one week. Okay, the last point before we close. God commands the staff. And this is verses 14 through 21, build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks installed throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build 3 decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die, but I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you and be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals. See, this is the thing, and I'm going to you better say that, Minister Crystal. Here's the thing. God calculated the situation, right? He saw what was happening in the world. He decided to destroy it. He commissioned Noah. He told Noah, I'm about to just kill the world off. It's about to die. Everybody's going to die. Then he commands the staff. He says to Noah, this is what I need you to do. He commissioned him and said, I have need of you. Then he said, this is the need that I have. And I'm saying to someone today that God has given you a purpose. God has poured purpose into you. God has commanded you to be in this realm for such a time as this. Now is the time for you to go to God and ask, what is my purpose? What is my assignment? What is my calling? What do you want me to do? And when he gives you some words, it is okay for you to say, how do I do it? What do I need to do? What's step one? God may not show you like he did Noah, build this and it's going to be this big and this high. And he may not give you step by step all at one time like he did Noah. He may say, let me trust you with one step. Let me see you walk out that one thing that I asked you to walk out. And then you don't know what's going to happen after that. You just know this one thing. So you know, okay, I don't know how I'm going to get this done, but I know he told me to focus on this. So you go ahead and you focus on that. And as you take that step, that's a faith step because you don't have all the answers. You don't know exactly what you're supposed to do. All you know is you got to get it done. So as you begin walking in obedience, then God allows another door to open. And then you get some more information. And then here comes someone that can help you. And then you continue to walk. And then as you're walking, he's directing your footsteps, and you begin to see what it is he's commissioned for you to do, what your purpose is, one of your purposes. Because, again, there's some people who have more than one purpose. You have several, but you haven't done one yet. And God is waiting for you to accomplish that thing so that it can move on. Can I tell you something that I learned and I had a moment? The things that God calls us to do line up with each other. My mind was blown. I did not realize, because there are certain things that he's told me about me that he wants me to do. And when he said them, to me, they didn't connect. They didn't make sense. But as I sat and I spoke with God, which is what Minister Crystal is saying, listen to God talk back to you. When you pray and ask God for a thing, wait for his response. Wait for him. That doesn't mean literally that you have to sit there for the rest of your life until he answers you. But before you jump into, listen for his voice, because prayer is a communication, a dialogue between the two of you. That means you talk, he listens, he talks, you listen. And that is very important, because just like Minister Crystal said, sometimes we try to treat God like Santa Claus. I like to say we try to treat him like an ATM machine. I'm putting everything, I'm taking everything out, but I'm not putting anything in. And so what you need to do is to start waiting for his response in the things that you do. And I want to leave this with you because I'm over time. I just want to say to you that in this season, not because it's 2020, not because it's January, not because we've made New Year's resolutions, which I don't believe in that anyway, not because of any of those things, but because you want something different in your life, because you want to walk out in what God has called you to walk out into, now is the perfect time to rock the boat. And what I mean by that is not cause waves, but begin to create. Noah, not knowing anything about this rain, this storm, this was coming, heard the voice of God say, build it. Not making any sense of it, he heard God say, build it. Well, you know in yourself that you are here, so God has already said, build it. Now go to him and find out what it is you need to build, how do you need to build it, and as he gives you information, start walking into it. Do that faith walk. You may not have every step. You may not have all the resources. You may not have the support. Start walking into it, because God is looking for your obedience and your faith in the thing. He wants you to obey what he's called you to do, and he wants you to have the faith in him to believe that it can get done, even if your bank account says no, even if your support says no, even if resources say no, even if it looks crazy, that you will have faith in him to know it can be done. And the only way it can be done is if you obey him totally. That's how you worship God, with your obedience and your faith in him. Yeah, we could clap all day long and shout, but it's not real if our heart is not invested in trusting God. Rock the boat this season. Rock the boat. I want you to walk out in what God has called you to do. Get into your place with him, wherever it is, your space with him, and ask him, Lord, you made me. You created me. I'm here. What do you want me to do? And it literally can become an everyday conversation. Lord, what do you want me to wear today? Who do you want me to speak today to today? Who should I pray for today? What way should I go? Should I take the bus? Should I take a train? Should I drive? Should I be on this highway? And I know it sounds silly, but when I tell you, God honors that because you're putting him what? First. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek God first. If you seek God first, he can give you the answers you've been looking for. But we like to seek him last once we have made a mess of things and we ask him to come in like he's Zorro or something to come save us. Lord, I'm praying to you because now I made a mess out of everything. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Help me, help me. When God should be the first person we seek. We get it wrong a lot. We'd rather talk to our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our friends, our council people, our pastors. God says, seek me first and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What are the all things? Look it up. The all things are anything that you're lacking. God will provide after you seek him first. When you seek him first, you're telling him that you trust him. You're telling him that he matters. You're telling him, I'm being obedient to scripture. I'm being obedient to having you first in my life, because without the source, the resources will fall by the wayside. God is your source, and we need to start treating him like the source instead of Holy Spirit, I was about to say something, instead of the ATM machine or the Santa Claus. We need to put him first and stop asking him to be Captain Save Us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because when we do that, we're telling God that he is not our priority. And when you put things before God, you kind of make them your idol. Remember he said, thou shalt have no other God before me? So if you're putting things before God, God is no longer your source. Those other things are your sources. And so they become your gods. And we'll talk about that at another time because that's a whole different topic. But I want you, just like Minister Crystal said, to be intentional about inviting God into your daily living first. That is key. Invite him in first. Don't say, okay, I tried everything myself. Now, God, come in and fix it. He is not your Captain Save or anything. He is not your ATM. He is not your Santa Claus. He is first, the source. So I ask you this week to be intentional about inviting God into every area of your life, and especially into your purpose, assignment, and calling. Invite him into that so that way you can start walking out what he has for your life. And don't worry about what year it is. Don't worry about what people have been banging on the and prophesying, saying, oh, Holy Spirit, about this year. This year is an intentional relationship between you and God. And watch, as you trust God, as you start walking out into the things of God, things are going to happen for you rapidly. Trust me when I tell you. Things have already started on January 1st. So don't even tell me that God is not a God that can do things like this, because yes, he can. But you have to trust him, obey him, walk out in faith, and then you'll see some things. Be intentional, though. Don't let it be by happenstance because you're going through a situation. Let it be on purpose. God, I'm seeking you first in this. I need your help. I need your direction. I want to obey what you have for me. So focus on that. Spend time with the Father every single day. Remember I told you, it doesn't always have to be a 3-hour, 2-hour, 1 hour. It can be a few minutes. But the fact is you intentionally spend time with God. He will honor that. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to Word in the House Ministries today. I am so appreciative. I am ready to rock the boat, and I hope you are too. We are about to do some crazy things, but I promise you, God will be pleased because you have obeyed him. I'm praying for you all, every person who tuned in today. I pray that God will restore you, that he will heal you. Whatever it is that you're standing in need of, Father God, I ask that you would touch them right now in that area of their physical self, of their spiritual self, of their financial self, of their relational self, of their mental self, of their emotional self, Lord God, and do what it is that they need done, Father God. I ask that you would heal them, bless them, love on them, and restore them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So you have a fantabulous week. If you missed it, I'll repost it so that you can hear it, watch it, see it, because I want us to rock 2020. I like it, Crystal. Thank you, Minister. I appreciate you. Let's rock 2020. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed week. I'll see you on, Wednesday. We're back to doing Bible study on Wednesday. It's going to be at 7 p.m. If you'll go to this website, it's www.withministries.weebly.com. So it's www.withministries.weebly.com. If you go on there, you'll see a lesson plan, because we're going to be talking. I did this 2 years ago with my family, and we were talking about managing our emotions, and God put in my spirit that this is a time to get our emotions into check. We cannot go forward anymore in anger and disappointment and all those other things. So we are going to do a 12-week Bible study on the book of Psalms within managing our emotions. Timothy Peck is the creator of this Bible study series. So if you go on the website, you can get the participants guide beforehand so you can look at it before we have Bible study Wednesday. That's this Wednesday, starting this Wednesday, 7 p.m. Every week we're going to be talking about a different emotion, and we're going to get all this ugly out, because we want to be better for where God is sending us. We don't want the blessing and be all ugly and nasty and cranky and bitter about it. We want to be better. So please, please, please go to the website and get your participants guide. Go ahead and print it out. If you have any questions, email me at withministries1@gmail.com. And I pray for you, and I'll see you Wednesday right back here, 7 p.m. God bless you.